Turn in the Word of God this morning to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we'll begin reading at verse 18. Romans 8, verse 18. What we have to understand and keep in mind as we read through this section of Romans 8 are the words of the first verse of this chapter. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So that forms the background, the basis of the rest of the truth concerning us and concerning our lives in this world. No condemnation in Christ Jesus. Verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Read the Word of God thus far. Our text is the last part of the chapter, specifically verses 35, 38, and 39. We'll read those again. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 8, beloved, is certainly a very beautiful passage of the Word of God. Can you think of a section of God's Word that is more comforting than this? Isn't it true that this is a part of the Word of God that we often turn to? That we often turn to when life is a turmoil, when times are tough, when circumstances are difficult, when our Heavenly Father's hand comes down heavily upon us, when we face sickness and pain and tragedy and family strife and death. A beautiful Word of God. Its beauty, beloved, begins, of course, in verse 1, where the passage speaks, as we stated already, concerning our status in Christ. No condemnation to the people of God. But it continues that throughout the chapter and is expressed in those well-known words of verse 28, when the believer says, I know that all things work together for good, for my good. But it doesn't stop there. Those words of verse 28 are certainly very comforting words for the child of God, but there's also everything else that follows from that in the rest of the chapter, where we are told concerning our salvation, our being predestinated, our being regenerated, and sanctified, and preserved, and glorified. And then this, God is on our side. If God be for us, who can be against us? And then this as well, God didn't spare His Son. He gave us His own beloved Son. A Word of God that is rich, rich in comfort. And our text is part of this chapter that is very comforting for the believer. The words of our text, beloved, point us to the fact that this is one of the passages of Scripture that really speaks for itself. What I mean by that is this, when you read the words of our text, it states the truth in such clear language that even the children here can understand it. Your children can understand what the text is saying. Your children can understand what the words of the text mean when the text says, there is nothing in all the universe that can separate us from the love of Christ, our Savior. When the text that one has before him on which he preaches is so clear, it makes one wonder, what more can I say? there anything that can be added? How could it be said any better? Any clearer? You can only stammer a few words then, beloved. Say a few things to try to make things clearer. Say a few things to try to make this Word of God alive. A word that hits home. A word that applies to every one of us here this morning. And we do that as we consider this Word of God under the theme, Christ's inseparable love. And notice three things concerning that. A crucial question, a comforting answer, and a personal confession. Our text, beloved, puts us before a grand truth of the Word of God. This truth, Christ loves us. That's a great truth. That's a blessed reality for us as the people of God. And you wonder, can we even do justice to that? Can we do justice to the fact that Christ loves us? Us? Think of that, beloved. Think of the fact that it is the Son of God who loves you. The Son of God who is God Himself. The Son of God who is divine, the Son of God who is highly exalted above all that there is in heaven and upon earth. And you ask the question, why does He love me? Why? He loves me who is one that deserves to be hated by Him because I am filthy, I'm a sinner, and yet Christ loves me. What a wonder. And think of what His love cost Him. It cost Him His own life. His love for you cost Him the death of the cross. His love for you cost Him the torments of the fires of hell where He faced the wrath of God against the sin of all His people. So great was His love, He was willing to do that. He was willing to sacrifice Himself out of love for you and me. What a love. And think of what you have because of His love. His love means your deliverance. His love means you are one of the chosen. His love means you are one of the justified people of God. His love means that you will one day be glorified by Him. His love means that you have been saved from the torments of hell that you deserve, and you will instead go to heaven. All because Christ loves you. What a love. An amazing love, an almighty love, a great love, a love that has done astounding things for us, the people of God. Staggering to consider the love of Christ. We ask a crucial question here concerning that love. This question, who shall separate us from that love? A vital question. Our question is this, is there anyone or is there anything that is able to cut off the love of Christ? To block it? To stop His love from reaching me, who is one of the objects of His love? Is it possible for something to get in the way? Is it possible for something to come between me and the love of Christ? Does anyone have the power to take Christ's love away from us so that we're not loved by Him? That's a crucial question. That's something that the child of God wants to know. And that's something that is crucial for us, first of all, because it sometimes can seem to us as though Christ's love is taken away. And it can seem that way when? It can seem that way when the very things that the Apostle Paul mentions in our text come into our lives. When we face tribulation and distress and persecution and famine and nakedness and peril and the sword. When we face death and life and angels and principalities and powers and things present and things to come. The Apostle mentions these things, and you could call these the bad news, so to speak, of the text. The bad news of the text is that we're going to face these kinds of evils in our earthly life. These difficulties will come. And it's not a matter of perhaps or maybe, but it's a matter of that being a fact of earthly life. And Paul, therefore, when he mentions these things, is not someone who is or who can be accused of being out of touch with the realities of life. When you read these things and when you hear these things mentioned in our text, you have to say, I'm not surprised that these are the things that he mentions, because these are the things that we face in our earthly life. This is not just some philosophizing, some theoretical summary of what might possibly come into a person's life, but this is an accurate description of the realities that we face in life. We face these things, tribulation, distress and persecution. We face death. We face the principalities and the powers of darkness. We face the things that are in the present as well as the things that are to come, the unknown and uncertain things of the future. Often when we face these things, we respond this way. It seems to me that these things take me away from the love of Christ. When I am in the midst of these experiences in life, it seems that His love is gone. It seems instead that He is expressing hatred toward me. I'm not so sure anymore that He loves me. It seems that He's stopped loving me. So the child of God needs to know, will any of these things separate me from the love of Christ? It's also crucial for us to know the answer to that question, beloved, because there is someone who wants these things to separate us from the love of Christ. There is someone who wants to take Christ's love away from you. Now, individual is mentioned in the text by name, but notice the question in verse 35. Who? The Apostle Paul has a person in mind. And the person that the Apostle has in mind when he asks the question is the devil, because he it is who wishes and works with all his might to take away the love of Christ from the people of God. He's the one that uses all these things as they come into our lives to try to get us to doubt whether our God loves us in His Son. And He's also the one who leads us in our earthly life into ways of sin and into ways of terrible sin, trying especially in that way to get us to commit a sin that will make Christ stop loving His people. And thus, a crucial question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? It's really the question, can the devil, can Satan do it? We need to know. And a crucial question in the third place, because we're speaking here of the love of Christ, the love of the Son of God. Most of us know from experience that it's bad enough to lose the love of someone else. It's bad enough to lose the love, for example, of your spouse, or to lose the love of a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or to lose the love of a parent, to lose the love of a child. It's an awful thing if they don't love you anymore. It's a terrible thing if they come right out and say it, I hate you. But so much the more, beloved, is that an awful thing and a terrible thing if it is the love of Christ. There's really no comparison. If you are separated from the love of Christ, you lose everything. Everything. If you're separated from the love of Christ, you lose your salvation. If you're separated from the love of Christ, you lose your forgiveness. If you're separated from the love of Christ, you lose your hope of life in heaven with Him. If you're separated from the love of Christ, you lose the confidence that all things are meant for your good, not only, but all things work for your good. And then you're not able to face adversity, because you would have to say, when adversity comes your way, Christ doesn't love me, Christ hates me, Christ is punishing me. You need His love. You need it constantly. You cannot face one day of earthly life without the love of Christ. A crucial question, therefore. This is the most important thing in life. There's never anything that is more important than the love of Christ. You ask yourself, what is it that matters in your life right now? There are all kinds of things, perhaps, that are high on the priority list of things that are a burden to you right now, and things that are troubling you, things that are making your life difficult. And you perhaps ask the question, will the economy improve so that I have work, so that I have enough food and drink? You perhaps say, will I overcome my present struggles? My sickness, my depression, my injury, my surgery.
You perhaps ask, will things go well in my family so that there is in my family no sickness, no disease, no sudden tragic death, no loved ones taken away? But those are not the questions. The all-important question for the child of God is this: will any of these things, or will anything else in all the world, separate me from the love of Christ? That's what you want to know, isn't it, beloved? You do, because His love is crucial to your existence. You can bear, and I can bear, to lose everything else in the world, but not the love of Christ. Who can separate us from His love? That's the question. Question is answered powerfully and strikingly. In answering that question, beloved, the Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, does what a father might do with a frightened child. Child is afraid to go to bed at night, as you children perhaps are sometimes, especially if you're away from your own home, in a strange house, it's a dark night, and you're alone in a strange room. You don't want to go to bed. You're scared. You're afraid. You may even say, I'm afraid of monsters. And so your dad takes you as a child. He takes you into the room into which you're going to sleep. And he says, let's have a look around. Takes you by the hand. Takes you through every cupboard, every drawer, every closet, looks in every corner, looks under the bed, and he points in every place in that room, takes you through every room in the house even, and he says to you, my child, there are no monsters. Did you see any? There were none. There are no dangers. You have nothing to fear. Now you can go to bed. Now you can go to sleep. And the child's able to do that. Peacefully to sleep because he knows he is safe. Well, that's really what the Apostle Paul does here with regards to the universe. You could say he takes us here on a guided tour of the universe in answer to the question as to whether there's anything that can separate us from the love of Christ. He takes us by the hand and He takes us through the universe. He directs our attention to everything that there is in the universe, and then He points specifically to the different things that come up in our lives that might make us wonder concerning the love of Christ. And He says, you ask if there is anything that can separate you from the love of Christ. You wonder if there is something that might do that? Well, even if it seems these things could, there is nothing that can. Nothing at all. Absolutely nothing in all the universe that can take you away from the love of Christ, your Savior. Nothing. Nothing. And so the apostle takes us on that tour, and he calls us to consider every possibility, and he calls us to consider first of all this possibility, that perhaps tribulation and distress and persecution might take away the love of Christ. He says you may face these things. You may be pressed in from all sides because you are Christians, people of God who confess His name in this world. Your place in this world may become a very narrow place because the devil and the ungodly hate you, and their hatred of you is going to increase as time progresses. The world of the ungodly may take away your freedoms as the people of God. There may be less and less tolerance for the children of God in this world. And you may even face the peril and the sword at the hands of the ungodly. Persecution with the sword, being put to death because you are a Christian, losing your life, viewed as sheep for the slaughter. Those are possibilities, he said. And those things might not be so far away for us as the people of God. The Antichrist might not be that far away. The Great Tribulation might soon come. The liberal rulers of this world and the radical liberal citizens of this world may soon try to shut us down as a church and silence us as the people of God. And if we're not going to face it, our children might face it, and we might wonder about this separating them from the love of Christ. And the apostle says, have you considered all of this? Have you looked at all these things? Have you considered the threat that they might be to the people of God? And he says, they're not. They're not. Will any of these things separate you from the love of Christ? Absolutely not. None of them. And then he takes us on this journey next to take a look at another part of life, namely famine and nakedness. That too is something that we could face as the people of God. It's hard to imagine. But certainly we realize that things are not looking good at this point in history and time. The economy still continues to struggle. Struggle across the globe. In spite of all the government's attempts to save it, the bottom could still very well drop out of it. Things could get much worse. We could face hunger and want. And that's all the more a possibility and could become a reality for us because we are the people of God, because we are Christians, because when the Antichrist comes, we first will be denied food and drink. What if that happens? What if sometime in the next few months another great depression hits the world? What if by the end of this year the mark of the beast is put in place and we cannot buy and sell? What if you are without work, not just now during the months of winter, but all the way into and through the summer months, so that you can't pay the bills? What if you're booted out of your house because you're not able to make the payments? What if you don't have money or food to feed your children and they're starving? Will these things come between you and Christ's love? Will they cut off His love? And the answer is, no, they won't. None of them. Absolutely not. None of it. And then the apostle says, what about death? Verse 38. Take a look at that too. Death is certainly a reality. Strikes often and strikes unexpectedly. And when it comes to death, you have to consider, of course, everything that leads up to death as well. Sickness, surgery, cancer, a heart attack, a stroke, aging. But then there is death itself. Death comes. Death takes away a loved one. Death takes away, as it has for one of our families, an elderly loved one. But death sometimes takes away an infant, a small child. Death takes away a parent. Death takes away a beloved husband or wife, and strikes suddenly and unexpectedly. And then there is, of course, your own death. That's coming too. Can death be a means to separate us from the love of Christ? It can seem like it. It's a deep and a dark valley. Now, death certainly does mean separation. It means separation from everything that you have. It means separation from your loved ones. But though death means that we lose all of those things, we never lose the love of Christ. Not even in death. Never. And then Paul says, take a look at life. And by life, of course, he means life that has its many troubles. Life because of which, or the troubles because of which earthly life is difficult, and because of which earthly life sometimes doesn't seem worth living. He has in mind this side of life, or this aspect of life, namely family strife, financial struggles, a car crash, your house burning down, all your possessions lost. And he says, not even life with all of those things being part of it can take away the love of Christ, can cause separation between you and His love. Nothing. And then he continues and calls us to consider angels and principalities and powers. He has in mind there the forces of evil, the wickedness that is in high places, the devil and all his host that use the world to tempt and to lead the people of God into sin. The devil and his host, who would like nothing better than to get a child of God to commit a terrible sin against God. But even though the devil may succeed in doing that, and even though the devil may lead you to commit a sin that you wouldn't right now ever dream of committing, not even that will take away the love of Christ. Amazing. Astounding grace. He'll still love you, even though you sin. And then the apostle says, think of things present and think of things to come. Think of the things that are happening now in the world, the wars and the terrorists' attacks and the natural catastrophes that come, and think of the things that are to come. Think of the future that we don't know about, the future that will include many surprises, the future that fills us with fear at times, and the future that includes the things that will happen as the end of time approaches. Terrible things for the church and for the people of God. And he says, and none of those things in the world history that take place here on this earth that affect the people of God will take away the love of Christ. None of them. And finally he says, and think of every other creature. Everything else that God has made in this world, that covers everything. Anything that hasn't been mentioned yet or hasn't come to mind yet. Anything that comes into your life, you fall and you break a hip, that won't take away the love of Christ. You're involved in a car accident and you're injured, that won't take away the love of Christ. Your boyfriend or your girlfriend breaks up with you and you're devastated, that won't take away the love of Christ. One of your children is disobedient and rebellious and very difficult to control, that won't take away the love of Christ. No matter how deep the distress that we experience in life, no matter how difficult the turmoil that we face, nothing will take away Christ's love. When the apostle mentions every other creature, that includes also this, yourself. Yourself. You may wonder about that sometimes. Will I take myself away from the love of Christ because of my stupidity, my foolishness, my sin, my sin? That can seem very real. My unfaithfulness, my failure to love Him, my pursuit of those besetting sins in my life, my return to those iniquities again and again and again. Will that mean that the love of Christ is taken from me? And though that's what we deserve, that'll never happen. Not even that will take it away. Comfort. What a blessing. And this is meant, beloved, not simply, not merely for our information, but this is for us as God's people to confess. It's a confession that the apostle makes. It's a confession that we must make with him. What does he say? He says, I am persuaded. He says, I am convinced. He says, I am 100% sure of this. It's a remarkable thing when you think of it. This is the Apostle Paul who speaks here. This is Paul who speaks from experience when it comes to the things that the Apostle has mentioned in our text Those were things that he faced. He's not just theorizing. He suffered immensely. He suffered more than any of us has suffered. He felt stones hit him and hit him hard in the head and all over his body as he was stoned and left for dead. And he lived daily in his earthly life with that thorn in his flesh that God never took away from him. And he was imprisoned, and he was beaten till his back was bleeding and sore. And he says, I am persuaded that none of those things take away Christ's love from me. We must say it with him, beloved. This must be your conviction, so that you have no doubts about it, so that you boldly confess, I am persuaded. I believe this. I know it. I'm sure of it. I believe it with all my heart. Nothing will ever take me away from Christ and his love. Confidence, a confident confession. And that's not a confident confession that we make because somehow you and I are able to keep ourselves in the love of Christ. But it's a confident confession that we make because of the character of Christ's love. His is a love that will never let us go. His is a love that is almighty. His is a love that keeps us close to him. And the apostle underscores that earlier in the chapter when he says, if God, in his love for you, was willing to give his son, and his son implied in that his son was willing to give himself and to lay down his life, and has done that, has paid the price, would he ever change? Having sacrificed himself, having faced the torments of hell in your place, would he ever stop loving you now? You're precious. You're his. His is a love that is almighty. His is a love that has redeemed you. His is a love that has saved you from eternal destruction. His is a love that is behind everything that he sends you on your earthly life and pilgrimage. His is a love that directs all things for your good. We're confident because of his love. And then we can be fearless. No matter what you face, you always have the love of Christ. And so the Spirit has taken us through Paul to show us the universe. He has told us there's nothing in all this universe that can separate you from the love of Christ. Believe that, people of God. May that be the truth you turn to in every circumstance in your earthly life. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall separate me from the love of Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father and God, through Thy Spirit, cause this word to be applied to us. Cause it to be a comfort to our souls. May we take it with us. May it be our strength, because it directs us to Thee, our God, and to Thy Son, and His great love for us, from which nothing can take us away. In His blessed name we pray. Amen.